Avatar Fan Fiction, Master Hunter by Jarathai. Disclaimer: Avatar, its characters, and all creative rights and copyrights belong to James Cameron and 20th Century Fox. The author of this fan fiction work does not profit from it in any way. Serté and Aitukan went back a long way. They'd grown up together, trained together, and raised their families. Aitukan had been first among the warriors. No one celebrated more than Serté when his friend had been named future Olowektan. Not that it had surprised anyone, given how he and the young Tsahik Moat were always making eyes at each other when they thought no one was looking. Serté excelled among the hunters as much as Aitukan had among the warriors. No creature moved in the forest that he could not track. Many Omatakaya swore he could trace the path of an Ikran through the sky. Some said that when he decided to track an animal down, the chosen beast would simply drop dead in its tracks to save itself the useless exertion of the chase. He'd brought his keen observational skills to bear on the new dreamwalker that his best friend's daughter had brought to the clan, this Jake Sully. It was obvious that many of the clan feared the man, and that many were outraged by his presence. Serté was too good a hunter to let either fear or anger cloud what his eyes could see. He saw a man who soaked up information like a sponge, someone who took all the taunts that the people threw at him without complaint, but also without submission or fear. The hunter saw a man who took everything the Omatakaya presented him as a challenge to be mastered, and then went on to the next one. The people thought they were testing Jake Sully, but Serté saw a man who was testing himself. Many Omatakaya were shocked when the Dreamwalker came back from Ikan Maya as Ikran Makto. Serté was not. Many were stunned when Jake Sully emerged alive from the sacred space under Home Tree, having successfully passed through Yunal Turan. The hunter wasn't. He had tried to speak to his brother friend about the Dreamwalker when they had found out about the impending Sky People attack, but rage had clouded Aitukan's reason. And then the Olowektan, his heart brother, was gone. Serté had made the Sky People pay dearly for their heinous crime. It did not make his grief go away. The hunter had been as incredulous as everyone else when Jake Sully returned to the people as Turuk Makto. He watched as the man that the Omatakaya had spat upon saved not just the clan, but all Na'vi. Serté saw all of Awa's creatures come to help the people, in answer to the Dreamwalker's prayer, he was later informed. He saw Jake and Turuk strike down the demon flying machine, watched it explode into a blazing fireball with his own eyes. After all of that, it did not surprise Serté when Jake Sully appeared among the Na'vi at the Tree of Souls, wearing the Palulukan claw collar of the Omatakaya Olowektan. It did not surprise the hunter when Jake left his empty Sky People body at the foot of the tree to walk among them permanently. There wasn't a man among all the people that Serté respected more. But he'd never tell him that. He spent a great deal of time with Jake. That was only natural, since he was the clan's senior hunter. He offered to oversee the hunting while the new Olowektan was getting used to the position, before the man even had a chance to ask. While they were ostensibly speaking about hunting, Serté commented how this custom or that custom involved the animal they were discussing. He brought Jake to the weapon makers, who cheerfully discussed their craft in intimate detail, getting into debates over the various styles of arrowheads, the proper weighting of bow staves, the merits of claws versus teeth for use in making knives, all the minutiae of their work. Of course, they absolutely couldn't let the Olowektan go without proper equipment. Jake felt like a walking armory by the time they'd pressed him into accepting one of every type of weapon they'd had to offer. Serté acted as Jake's lieutenant with the hunter warriors, working so smoothly that it seemed only natural to the other Omatakaya. He introduced Jake to each one, praising their particular area of expertise to their new Olowektan, and not coincidentally giving the Turuk Makto a briefing on his warriors' strengths. Occasionally, he'd tell stories of Aitukan, Moat, Neytiri, Sawanan, or his own mate and family. The stories were always illuminating and timely. Jake knew what the Master Hunter was doing, of course, and was incredibly grateful. It wasn't long before others noticed, either. Maat intercepted Surte after the morning hunter's meeting one day and invited him to walk along the river for a bit. She waited until they were out of earshot and then said noncommittally, "You've been helping Jake a great deal." The hunter replied, "A young man needs a father." He looked back towards the tree. "That one more than most." The Sahik responded, "So you decided to fill the position?" Surte said gently, "Aitukan would have been a great father to Jake, but since he's gone to Ewa, it falls to someone else to fill that role. Who better than his heart brother to step in and offer the open ear or the quiet word now and then?" Moat's eyes twinkled, despite the pang in her heart at hearing her mate's name spoken aloud. "No more than a quiet word?" The hunter shook his head. "No more is necessary with that one." He looked up at the Amatakaya Sahik. "Ewa has shown him his path. I only show him the landscape surrounding it." She nodded in acknowledgment. "Still, it is good for the clan that you give him that ear and that word." Surte said softly, "What better way to honor my heart, brother, than to guide his daughter's mate?" They looked at each other for a few moments, wordlessly sharing their memories of the one who had passed. Then Moat smiled and took the arm of her mate's best friend so that they could walk home together. A whisper on the wind followed them back towards the tree, so gentle that neither of them heard it. "Ireo, my friend."